You got a little Ouija with Paddy Power on this one, then?
Yeah, mate. Big man to score any time. I'm backing him.
And it looks like it's the big man who's coming off.
Oh, he's going to struggle to score from the bench, pal.
Oh. Fear not, punter, because with Paddy Power's super sub, your bet carries over to the player coming on.
Y'all ready for this?
So now, all subs are super. Paddy Power. Football, you gotta love it. Valid on selected leagues and markets only. Pre-match and in-play bets on qualifying player outcome selections only. T's and C's and exclusions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello again from the horse's mouth. We're back and we're looking ahead to Saturday. And what a Saturday of racing we've got with Punchestown, Newmarket, Kentucky, Goodwood and Thirsk? Who knows? We could cover the lot. It's going to be ITV, RTE and Sky Sports Racing for all the channels. It's going to be busy, busy, busy. And for the gazillionth time this week, I've got Rory DeLargy and I've got Ruby Walsh. Rory, safely ensconced at home with a new picture behind him, a new position for you at home. What's the picture of?
It's an atmospheric picture of the Thames.
Beautiful. Well, I'll tell you what, an atmospheric picture of the Thames. I mean, that's lovely. Ruby's.
If you're interested, drop me a line and I'll tell them to take some more.
Oh, I'll tell you, it looks great. All I've got is the only painting I've got is one of Ruby's double. Everyone has in their house above the fireplace. Speaking of his grandson, Ruby, in the Nace press room again, Ruby Walsh. Yeah, he's definitely in the Nace press room because he hasn't managed to unmute himself. So try again there, Ruby.
So actually, you're a little unfortunate, PK, because you've managed to say the same thing twice and make the same mistake twice because I left the Nace press room on Monday. So I'm actually in the Punchestown one because that's where the racing is at the minute. But the same seat as I was in yesterday.
Thanks, Ruby. It is Punchestown this week, is it? Well, do you know, I was put off by Ascot having the Nace Racecourse Division 1 and 2 handicaps on Wednesday. That's what put me off. Ruby absolutely destroys PK within 2 minutes, as producer Mark just asking who had the unders there. It's an absolute. Luckily, you don't take yourself too seriously in this job, that's for sure. Right, let's get cracking. We've so many races to cover. We're going to kick off with the ITV action, then we're going to go to Kentucky, and then we're going to go to Punchestown. So that'll timestamp you if you want to listen to specific parts. Newmarket's ITV coverage begins with a sprint handicap of 145. We're recording Thursday, 12:30. First show prices, as per usual, coming through on paddypower.com. Noble Style for Appleby and Buick. 5-1 favourite for this race. Summer Gahan, he's back again. 10 years young. What a legend he is. 6-1, 7-1 Rohan, 10-1 Abraham Gold and LA Dancer and Apollo 1 and chairman of the board. All right, Rory, off to you because this is kind of more your stick. You know these fellas.
Yeah, the big problem we have at Newmarket at the moment, the advanced going is good, but we've had thunderstorms overnight. There are thunderstorms in various parts of the UK over the next day or so. And with thunderstorms, you're never quite sure whether you're going to get an inch of rain in an hour and a half or whether you're going to get a millimetre of rain. And that's the situation at the rain. Different forecasts give wildly differing amounts of rain to fall at Newmarket. There definitely will be some. Which should guarantee it won't start any faster than good, but it could end up being soft on the day, which makes it a little bit difficult to get involved with a massive amount of confidence here. The one who makes most appeal to me in this, and you could get behind a few, to be perfectly honest. I thought chairman of the board would run very well. He has had two runs this season. It was a very good head second to Wiltshire. Last time out at Newbury with a visor refitted, went without a visor on his return, and dropped a couple of pounds for that, and ran a cracker at Newbury to get back into form. He's been placed in this race for the last 2 years. He's got lots and lots of good form over 6 furlongs at the Newmarket. His only win, he doesn't appear as a course winner in the time form race card because his win at Newmarket came on the July course. But as I said, he goes very well in the Rolling Mile as well. He was second in this in soft ground last year. He was third in good ground the year before. So it doesn't really matter for him what happens with the ground. What he wants is for them to go really hard up in front, which they're liable to do. Jack Shannon's in very, very good form at the moment with his handicappers. Eddie Greatrex, who hadn't ridden for a long, long time, has came back with a bang with a 125-1 winner. He's had 5 rides this season and 2 winners already. So he seems to have come back with his appetite fully intact. And as I said, the faster they go here, and a bit will help in that regard. He only knows one way of running in the stall next door to chairman of the board in stall 13. A bit will go hard from stall 13. And chairman of the board will be finishing as fast as anything from the back of the field. And hopefully it all falls into his lap.
Chairman of the board for Rory De Larghi. We've got about 16 races to look at, Ruby. Are you going to be the same as Rory here?
I was showing you that, PK, because I bet people are just thinking he's tipping what Rory's tipping. But yeah, I like chairman of the board as well. And for all the same reasons, Rory has peaked out, ran really well in the race last year. And if the rain does come, it suits his style of running.
Lovely. All right, we'll see how many times they agree. On to the Suffolk Stakes over a mile and a furlong. Big handicap this one. Torito for the Gosdens, the 4-1 favourite, the George Strawbridge colours. This race over 1 mile, 1 furlong. Dutch Decoy for Charlie Johnson. He's had a very good start to the season. It's 11-2. Theory of Everything for David O'Mara, 6-1. 7-1 Liberty Lane. Line of War, 8-1. Also for Charlie Johnson. Ushi Murphy booked. And Tens Bar. So that you're not copied this time, Ruby Walsh, unmute yourself and give us your selection.
Yeah, I thought it would be the same this time, but maybe. Obviously, the race in Newmarket behind Hafita Lane on the 16th of April holds key form lines for this race. Dutch Decoy was second on that occasion, but he had the benefit of a run behind Mr. Professor at Doncaster on that occasion. And I thought Theory of Everything, who dwelt a little bit in the stalls, could benefit from his first run for David O'Mara and William Buick. He hadn't run since September, so with that run on the 16th of April under his belt, I'm hoping Theory of Everything can last home a bit better on Saturday.
Okay. Theory of Everything for Ruby Walsh. You won't be the same as Rory, because Rory always puts up majestic. Go on, Rory, off you go. Go on, you are.
I really had a rollicking this morning for putting, just suggesting majestic in this race. I think it is wide open. The Theory of Everything definitely comes into the equation, but I do like a bit of majestic, and he did the job for me in the Cambridgeshire a couple of seasons ago. He ran very well in the race again last year. He was a little bit. He didn't run particularly well in this race last season. It is the only real concern, but he did have a real slog in the mud in the Lincoln on his previous start, and I thought he actually finished alongside two horses who went on to win big handicaps later in the season that day, and they were all drawn together in the middle of the track, which wasn't particularly suitable on that occasion. The first six home in this race last year, five of them came from either the lowest stalls or the highest stalls, and this again is a problem you have with Newmarket. When you know what the going is like, you get half an idea of what the bias might be, and when you don't, it's a little bit of a toss-up. So we don't really know whether we want front runners or hold up horses. We don't really know whether they want to be far side or near side. And that makes it a bit tricky. But yeah, Majestic, his very best efforts have come over a mile and a furlong on the Roadie Mile at Newmarket. So although he disappointed in this last year, I'd be happy to give him another go. Worth pointing out again, in terms of jockey bookings, David Probert ride. For a jockey, he takes a lot of rides, David Probert. You can pretty much back him blind in handicaps and he'll make you money. And he's riding very well at the moment. And he was on Majestic when he ran a cracker here over a mile last time out. As I said, Jack Shannon's horses are in very good form at the moment. So I hope that he can be there or thereabouts again.
All right. Majestic once again for Rory, sticking with him. Theory of Everything for Ruby. 2.55. This is the Palace House Stakes Group 3 Sprint. 5-2, your favourite, a three-year-old. Favourite against the older horses. That's an interesting angle. Carl Burke, not afraid to throw the three-year-olds in, though. Beautiful Diamond, who's a listed winner and already group placed. Outside of Beautiful Diamond, you got Midvahi for Charles Hill, 7-2. Kurdos for Clive Cox, 4-1. 11-2 Twilight Calls, a regular in big group ones. Ryan Moore on board again, and it's 13-2 bar. Back to you, Rory, for this one. I think we know it's traditionally tougher for three-year-olds in sprints, particularly this time of the season.
Yeah, it is. I went back and looked at the record of three-year-old fillies in this race over the year, because there certainly hasn't been a winner in that age group. And the answer is there's only ever been, since 1997, there's only been two fillies who've run in this race. They're both unplaced. So there's not an awful lot of, not too many positives to take from that. But the fact that usually trainers wouldn't run their three-year-old fillies in this race, and this year, you know, Carl Burke's happy to let Beautiful Diamond take her chance, means maybe he thinks she's the type to bust that trend. I thought it was a difficult race. The horse who immediately jumped out to me was a quality. He's now a non-runner, but actually, even before he came out, I did. He's a funny horse, Equality. I think his very best form probably on a flat track, but he's disappointed at Newmarket before, but he's out of the race now. I'm going to go with Mithahi. He's not the easiest to get a handle on. He caught the eye in a massive way in the Temple Stakes last season. And the idea with Mithahi was he needed really fast ground all season. Didn't really have things go his way. And then he popped up and won on heavy ground over 6 furlongs at Chester in August, which was a real head-scratcher to me. He backed that up with a very good effort late in the season. Sorry, he backed up with on his return at over 6 furlongs here in the Abernans. He's effective. He's pretty effective at five. That's not an issue for him. The question is whether ground is important to him these days or not. You know, say his best effort last season came on soft ground, so he shouldn't mind the rain. I thought he was better than he could show most of the way in big races last season. I think he's capable of going on again this season. Charlie Hill's his runners tended to need a run early in the season, but they're going well at the moment. Jamie Spencer, he loves a well-run race at Newmarket, doesn't he? I don't tend to pile into Jamie as a rule, because sometimes his riding style can be frustrating, but I think he likes this horse. I suspect the reason that Mithahi now runs for Fitri Hay is because Jamie Spencer has suggested you want to get your hands on this, and therefore he's going to try to make the best of that. So I think Mithahi's got untapped potential despite the fact he's five. And I think he can build on that promising reappearance and win this.
All right. Jamie Spencer on Mithahi reading the Racing Post comments. Would you like to guess what the last four words are in their in-racing comments for Mithahi's last run under Jamie Spencer?
Close as that finish.
Never near to challenge. Very close. Very close. All right, Ruby, your thoughts?
I was doing three words in my phrase anyway. I'm with Mithahi as well. And he was a bit keen, which I thought was unlike him. If you watched him at Chester when he did win on soft ground late in the summer, he settled well on that occasion. But he was a bit keen early in Newmarket on his last start over six. So I thought with the freshness taken out of him, I was with Mithahi as well. And the fact that he handles both grounds, good and soft, I thought he made him the most reliable choice.
With Jamie Spencer on board. Yes. Patrice Mark with an honourable effort there in the chat. He put in, what did he say? He said, too much to do.
Well, at least he had four words.
Did I say four? Oh, God, Ruby, go away. Right.
No, I said nearest that finish, PK, which is only three.
Right. Okay. Yes. Right. I remember that one. Right. The big one on Saturday. I'm really looking forward to this. Everyone's looking forward to it. City of Troy, Ryan Moore, Aidan O'Brien. They couldn't be more. I suppose you could be coy, you could be thinking, yeah, we'll see how he gets on, et cetera, but the Coolmore, I don't know if it's a hype machine, whatever way you want to call it, they've been very keen on him all winter long. Can't wait to see what he does. 4-6, Rosalian, 11-2. Richard Hannah has said that if they're soft in the ground description, he won't run, so we don't want those thunderstorms. And then there's a bunch of unbeaten horses, Notable Speech, Ghost Rider, Night Raider, all unbeaten. Right, Ruby, to you, I'm so excited by City of Troy, but we've been here before with these brilliant two-year-olds, and sometimes they kick on and sometimes they don't. Will City of Troy kick on?
He absolutely could. I would think the biggest concern right now is probably yard form. Three winners and 26 runners in the last 14 days. Run to form percentage at 62% suggests they are in form, but I still think when you're operating at Aidan O'Brien's level, the only way you can be judged is winners. And I don't think they've had a flying start to the season. I could be very wrong, but I just that would be my only concern. I don't think they'll be anywhere to hide in the guineas. I think he's a very, very good horse, City of Troy, but I would love to see the yard booting in more winners. Rosalian obviously is a worry if the ground is soft. Alan Abbey, Jim Crowley rides Rowan Burrows. I think he's a fair horse, obviously second to City of Troy in the Dewhurst, and that was with an ease in the ground. I got the feeling talking to Jim Crowley earlier in the year, he thinks a hell of a lot of this fella. And I think at 16-1, I'd be willing to probably take a chance on him each way. And I'd probably be willing to take a chance on Iberian each way as well, who was good at Doncaster with on soft ground, didn't back it up behind City of Troy in the Dewhurst. But I just thought at 16-20-1, I'd be willing to take a chance on the two of them each way. Let City of Troy go and do his job if he's going to do it.
Yeah, well, we'll see how he gets on. Fascinating little each-way angle, a couple against the hot favourite. Rory, you're taking the guineas?
I'm going to enjoy it, hopefully. And I don't think I'm going to be spoiling that with a bet. I say that with races like this, it's so difficult to be. There's a bit of an H-way angle, 11 runners in there, but I'm not sure that I'm particularly strong in any one against City of Troy. I think you've maybe got five in there that you could make a fairly strong H-way case for, but I'm not sure there's one that particularly stands out to me. And of course, City of Troy just could be different class. There is a suggestion that, you know, we need to see exactly how it justifies train on. Because he's certainly best known for his juveniles thus far, but he's a young stallion, so that's exactly what you would expect. So I don't think I can read too much into the fact that one or two of Justify's offspring have been better at two than they have at three. They're clearly pretty precocious, but as a wise man once said, the 2000 Guineas is essentially the last two-year-old race of the season. They just run it in May. So you don't really think about training on until a little bit later. I know you can look at Air Force Blue and horses like that, and you do get two-year-olds who do chew train off badly, but the vibes are strong for City of Troy. They would be anyway, wouldn't they? You know, if they thought he hadn't trained on, they wouldn't be saying that at this stage. So I don't think I can take enough confidence from that to pile into him. From what I saw last year, and you know, with the weather forecast, it's, you know, the likeliest ground conditions are good to sort, which will suit him better than a couple of his main rivals. So you'd like to think he can get the job done, and we all want to see an absolute superstar. And he'd been talked up as one of the best horses ever. And we haven't even seen him run as a three-year-old, so it would be an embarrassment if he turned out and didn't run to form. So I just hope, for the sake of racing, we see a really good Guineas and Justify prove that he's as good as he looked last year.
Yeah, I'm...
City of Troy, brother, I say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm fallen into the hype train, I'll be honest. But I still remember the likes of, 12 months ago, we don't have to think that long, albeit Auguste Rodin did clearly train on. He bombed out in this race, and Air Force Blue is an obvious memory as well. But then you think of Churchill and Gleneagles and stuff. Yeah, it's always tricky.
Chuck in Johannesburg as well.
Yeah. Of course, he went to
America, obviously.
But he didn't train on at all. He couldn't win. Did he win his three-year-old?
I don't think he did.
Yeah, he was by Hennessy. Funny old sire. Well, there's loads of specials on PaddyPower.com as well. If you fancy, he's going to be a superstar. 7-4 to win this and the Derby. Obviously, if he wins the Guineas, he's going to be very short for the Derby. The Triple Crown, 9-2. And then there's someone, Aidan O'Brien, 29 or more Group 1 winners, 5-1. Would that be a new record for him? Was 28 the record? Go on, Rory. Throw it in there. Oh, no, I assume that's why we got 29 there.
Yeah, it's certainly high 20s. But I'm not that much of an anorak that I'm constantly writing down records.
Apricots.
Here's a picture of a horse from 1978. Can you work out what horse it is? That's the kind of anorak I am.
I definitely
the answer is yes. Yes, I can.
I was in Cheltenham in November. I think I sent you a picture of a pub of a horse in a pub, didn't I? Who's this? Aidan O'Brien train all five UK Classic winners is 12-1, and City Troy remain unbeaten 11-2. Look, you can check out PaddyPower.com, whatever way you want to get involved. As you said, I'm kind of like Rory. I want to watch it and see how he is. I just hope he is as good as he looked last year. Right, that is a new market covered. There's a couple of other races on ITV. Going to cursory glance, lads. The cursoriest of glances to these. Goodwood's 205 and Thirsk 240. Listed race at Goodwood 205. Had you had a look, Rory? And if not, that's okay.
I had a very quick look. The going will be very deep at Goodwood, and I think you probably want to focus on the on those who are proven on heavy ground, of those, the two who probably are best on heavy are Novus and Breach. Breach didn't win last season, but I could see her putting that right here. She was very, very solid last season. She was second over Seven Pearls and won the Oak Tree Stakes here in the glorious Goodwood meeting. She had an absolute cracker to be beaten 3/4 of a length on heavy ground that day, so we know that she'll handle it. She found that she was a little bit below the very best last season, but she's a solid Group 3 filly, and I think she'll probably take the beating on that ground.
I know Ronan Whelan's over to ride at Goodwood. He's got a couple of rides, including Our Town in that race. He also rides later in the car for Jack Shannon, Gather Ye Rosebuds. Shout out to Ronan Whelan, who rode half a minute into the winner's enclosure on Monday night. Great ride, that one too. The Thirsk Hung Cup, made famous by Farr, wasn't it, when he won this by about 10 lengths?
He did, yeah. It's mostly made famous by people saying the name too quickly, really.
The Thirsk.
Yeah.
Space Hunt. Space Cup. Yes. Any thoughts on it?
I thought it was really difficult. I used to look for your angle into races like this where the low drawn horses had no chance, whereas everyone thought they had the best chance. So the betting used to focus around the low horses and those out wide, you get big prices about. So I thought it was worth giving Master Richard a second glance. He's a little more exposed, but he's a good performer on his day. He doesn't want it too deep, though, which would be a slight concern. But he goes well fresh. He won at his reappearance last season. He ran very well off this market at Newmarket on his third start of the year. And I could see him go well from stall 15, but he wouldn't want it much worse than good. And I suspect good or soft at the moment, it might end up being a little bit softer than that. But Anne Duffield Skelding will be suited by the trip on good ground. And if it doesn't rain any more, then he's going to have a chance from the wider stall in stall 15. Redarna is in the field. Won this race at a massive price a couple of years ago, 66-1. There was plenty of 100-1 around that day. Won from the same stall 15. So it's always been an angle at Thirsk that people will ignore some horses to draw wide. He's got no chance from the car park. The car park draw is historically the best draw from a mile at Thirsk.
All right, Master Richard, be a double figure price is 14-1 at the time of recording. Right, we're going to take a quick break, and we owe you, our loyal listener, some thoughts on the Kentucky Derby. So that's what we're going to take from our man Joe Logue, as I call him, the king of the dirt. He's been firing in winners on dirt this season, including the Middle East and also in America. So let's get his thoughts on the big one, the Kentucky Derby, Run for the Roses, 11:57 on Sky Sports Racing. Take it away, Joe.
Hi, PK. Hope you're well. Look, we've chatted a good bit about the road to the Kentucky Derby over the last couple of months, but now that it's Derby weekend, look, we have to cover the race and give a tip for it. And look, this race is looking real good. It's a big field, 20 runners in it this year, and we're paying extra places. We're 4 places in the Paddy Power shops, 5 places on Paddy Power online. I'm kind of looking down the field here, maybe one of the big price that we can play. But firstly, we'll cover the two main contenders that the market's going to center around. And we actually covered them on the podcast previously. Sierra Leone, I have him down as second favorite. He's going to be wearing the navy silks of John Magner, and he's owned by Coolmore. We actually saw him winning last time out in the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland. He's a horse that's going to be held up right at the back. There is a real fast pace predicted here for the Derby, and he's one that's going to be looking to be close late on and basically chin the leaders. He's probably likely to be last of the field going into the back straight. And look, he's going to have a lot of traffic to pass. And in this sort of race, he's not one that I'd be looking for. His draw, he's also drawn in stall 2. It's not going to be ideal for a hold-up horse. He's going to, you know, have to take a pull coming out of the stalls, and the jockey's going to have to get him settled at the rear of the field, which, you know, for me is a bit of a negative in a race like this. I have the favourite, Fierceness, as the favourite of the race, and he's drawn in stall 17. And look, I don't think a horse has won the Derby from that draw. It's going to take a lot of work for him to get across the field and get into the position he'd ideally like to be in. He just wants to sit off the leaders, but he's going to have to use a lot of gas early on to get there. But look, he is the best horse in the race. He has the best figures, and, you know, everyone running has to kind of step up to his level. But the draw for me is a huge negative for Fierceness. Just to cover two other runners in the race, Society Man is the ride of Frankie Dettori. He's one that's probably going to be a big enough loser for us in the trading room. We definitely don't want to see Frankie win it this year. And a familiar face of Ben Curtis, he also takes a ride in the race on Honor Marie at a very big price. But yeah, look, we touched on the extra places. We touched on the negatives about the front two at the market. So I'm going to take them on and play one each way. And my selection is Just a Touch, horse number 8 for Brad Cox. He was second to Sierra Leone last time out in the Bluegrass Stakes. And he's a horse that likes to go forward. He's definitely going to go forward here. He mightn't make the pace, but he'd definitely be near it. And turning in the last twice in graded races, he's just looked a bit out pace. I think a stronger pace is going to suit him here. But he has shown early on that he can handle the fast early fractions needed to hold your position in a race like this. And he does look a really strong stayer. So like I can see him being in the box seat the whole way around. And as the field at the front weaken, I think he should be still there plugging away. Look, like I said, he's a decent each way price at 11-1. And he's only after 3 starts. We've seen 2 winners at the Kentucky Derby in the last 6 years that have been a less race type, which traditionally wouldn't have been the way it's shaped historically. But look, it's definitely not a negative anymore. I think the you know, the front two in the market have a lot more experience than him. I think he's entitled to improve from his last run. He's entitled to reverse the form with Sierra Leone. I think at the end of the year, he could turn out to be one of the best horses in this race. I think he's going to be hard to pass from the front. So yeah, my selection, just a touch each way at 11-1. I think he's going to win the Kentucky Derby.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Lovely stuff from Joe. Yes, extra place as well. And he's gone with, as he said, just a touch. It would be quite a touch for Coolmore were he to win. He mentioned obviously Sierra Leone in the race for Coolmore, but just a touch is by Justify. And what a day it could be for him as well. So just a touch in the Qatar Racing colours for Brad Cox, the selection. Sierra Leone, obviously very interesting as well for Chad Brown and Tyler Gaffalione. That is the Kentucky Derby, 11:57 on Sky Sports Racing. I doubt you've ever been there to that race, Ruby. That's probably one you've never managed to get to, or have you managed to get to that?
No, it's one on the bucket list, PK, and yeah. I will definitely get there. Every year I watch it, you look at the crowds, the atmosphere. There is something about it, and it's thinking about it. I've only ever been in Melbourne, so all the Sydney races, obviously, but and I'd love to go to a Japan Cup as well. I've been racing in Japan, but I'm definitely going to go to a Japan Cup. Been to Hong Kong, Epsom, Newmarket, Melbourne Cups, Breeders' Cups, but I'd love to go to a Kentucky Derby. Kentucky Derby and the Japan Cup, they're the two on my bucket list.
I've got Japan Cup as my number one at the moment, and then, yeah, I'll join you for the run for the Rose. We'll be clinging mint juleps together there, Ruby Walsh. Okay, we're going to look at Punchestown. I'm going to focus on Ruby here, Rory, but you jump in where you've got selections. And Ruby, the first race on the Saturday is the Dunhill Marquise cross-country chase. Obviously, there's a few horses here who may well have run in the Latouche, and we haven't seen the Latouche yet because we're recording before it. However, there's a few who didn't run in the Latouche. So, any angle into this, Ruby?
I think there is. Look, obviously, Cocoa Beach and Stumptown both run in the Latouche, and there's Birchdale, but I was going to go at Foxy Jacks. I think his form over cross-country course in Cheltenham this year has been really strong. He obviously tried to make the running in the English National, but frontrunners have a really poor record in the Grand National since they changed the track. So, I wouldn't be too worried about his run there. He has had a run over this bank course before. He was third in the Risk of Thunder chase in 2022 behind Delta Works. So he has the experience. And I think he's been rejuvenated over banks. So I'm going to side with Foxy Jacks from Mouse Morris.
Lovely stuff. Gavin Browder takes the ride onto, I'm guessing nothing from you over there, onto the 305, the Colin Quinn BMW Handicap Chase. 3 miles, 7 furlongs. So we're calling this 4 miles, this handicap chase. And look who's out again, Clark Kent. And on the ropes, Clark Kent ran a cracker over at Ayr and is the pick of Paul, Ruby.
He is, and I'm going to go against Paul. Now, Clark Kent does have age on his side. He is an 8-year-old. But I like what I saw from on the ropes. Again, there is a bit of drizzle here. We're recording on Thursday at Punchestown. He wouldn't want too much moisture in the ground, but Under Oaks has taken a long time to come back to himself. And look, he pulled up in the Paddy Power. He pulled up in the Tiestas. He was 7th in the Leinster National. He went to Scotland and was 5th in the Scottish National. I think he's going in the right direction. And I know he's top weight. Brian Hayes rides him, but I just think he'd be getting fitter. He's getting stronger. He has the age to take those runs, and I'm going to go with him now each way, PK. It is a tentative choice each way, but he's a solid jumper. I think Punchestown will suit him.
All right. You just put your hand up, Rory, when you want to come in, all right? He's got his hand up. Excellent. What do you got, Rory?
Again, ground dependent. Annoyingly, I lost out in an Alibos double on this horse early in the season. He wants it genuinely good, and that's Landon Calling. Who was last seen in the Edinburgh National when he finished 5th of 12, but the ground went slightly against them that day. Even the good to soft ground, they felt was probably too soft for him there. He's a horse who stays very well, but does want to hear his hooves rattle. And he's been kept fresh for this with the prospect of getting faster ground. So I'd give him a chance back on the mark that he won his previous race at Market Raisin off. That was the Lincolnshire National on Boxing Day. He, as I said, he does stay all day. He's young enough. He's well enough weighted to go well. But if there's more rain than forecast, I'd need it to be good to yield. Again, the usual story. If they say good to yielding, that's fine. If they say good yielding in places, that's also fine. But if it's yielding to soft, that's probably against him.
All right. All eyes on Brennan Sheridan's IHRB report on Saturday morning. See what the ground is for Landen calling for Fergal O'Brien. Not Johnny Burke on board, though. Of course, Johnny Burke's got the main job now. Liam Harrison will take the ride on Landen calling. OK, first of the grade ones on Saturday, 3:42. It is the Irish EPF Mayor's Champion Hurdle, sponsored by Coolmore. Paul's gone with Lossy Mouth, and this will be a lap of honour for her, Ruby Walsh.
Yeah, hopefully, PK. Hopefully it will be. Look, I think she's come out of Cheltenham well. She's had two starts this season. She's 2 from 2. She looks to be in great form at home. She's eye-catching in her work. But look, some of the others that came from Cheltenham were as well. But look, she's had a pretty light season. And I think she's still developing. I think she's still maturing. And yeah, it will be a lap of honour for her. And she's that price. Or hopefully it will be.
I'd say she'd be that price. I haven't got price at the moment, but I'd imagine she's, in terms of officially, she's got £11 to spare and 3 lengths, obviously, on Tell Me Something Girl. Look, only the 5, Rory. So, again, it's probably a watch and brief for you, unless you've got some forecast angle or something like that.
No, not really. I think she really should get the job done. I think with Ruth, with fields this size, it can get a little messy for the places. So, there doesn't tend to be the great angle. Like, for example, last week in the celebration chase, I fancied John Bond to beat Edwardstone, or Edwardstone and John Bond to find a bit of value there. And they were the best two horses in the day, but Edwardstone got done on the line because he's tried to win the race, and El Fabiola's picked him up on the shadow of the post. So those kind of, the tactics that come into play there, if you're desperately trying to win, you make yourself vulnerable for seconds. So the forecast doesn't always make sense unless you're absolutely certain how a race is going to play out.
Mm. And you know that a jockey's going to ride for, Ruby says all the time, the horse's best possible position. And that can happen when you think Lossy Mate's going to win, the best possible position I can get here second. And maybe one of those jockeys will go out with that, and you just have to figure out which one, because there's very little between the other four, certainly on ratings. On to the Palmerstown House Pat Taff Handicap Chase at 4:15, 3 miler here. And again, I'll focus on the Willie Mullins 2, Spanish Harlem. Don't see a jockey yet, but Paul's gone Glengooly. Who won't see?
Yeah, who ran really well in the Tiestas. He was second, ain't that a shame? 2.5 was two, or 2.4.5 was too sharp from a Cheltenham behind Shaking Up Harry, and blazed the trail for a long way in the Grand National. But I did think he was getting empty when he unseated Michael O'Sullivan late on. Spanish Harlem ran in the Scottish National, finished 6th. Again, looked just behind Clark Kent and on the ropes. So that form will be either franked or blown apart about an hour earlier. But the one I came down on, PK, was Neither of Willie's, and it was actually one of Henry de Bromhead's, a horse called Gold Bully. And he was third in a maiden hurdle at Fairy House in his first run for Henry last Easter behind Canal End. He then went to Cork and won a 3 mile maiden hurdle in May, where Liz Nagar Fortune finished third. He's only had the 3 runs over fences. He ran in the stall behind Power of Pause, the beginner's chase behind Classical Dream, and then he ran a Fairy House in January behind Intense Raffles. This is his first start in the handicap chase. 10 stone in his back. Henry's horses have been in really good form this week. And I think Gold Bunyan is the unexposed one for my money.
Rachel Blackmore in those Malcolm Denmark silks. I'm not sure if you were scratching your nose or putting your hand up, Rory. I kind of caught you in the corner of my eye. Which was it?
It was a bit of scratching the nose, really, to be honest. Okay. But I would still I'd still give a chance to Blackjack Magic here of Anthony Honeyballs. Anthony obviously does single out this meeting for some of his horses. He's been rested since falling at the last in the, oh, whatever it is these days, the Coral Trophy chase at Kempton in February. He won the Badger Beers first time up of 1.32. He would have gone very, very close at Ascot as Nick's start. He made a bad mistake at the last fence when challenging, and that was off a mark of 1.38. He's in 1.35 in between those two now. He hasn't been disgraced since. And given a break, but the blinkers just lit him up a little bit at Kempton. He was just tiring when he fell late on, but he's had 10 weeks to get over that. He showed he can go well fresh at Wincanton. Right-handed tracks are important to him, and I think he runs a solid race here and might be good enough to win.
All right, keep an eye out for Blackjack Magic for Anthony Honeyball, who, as Rory said, often pitches one winner or two in a Punchestown. On to the Ballymore Champion 4-year-old hurdle, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for Willie Mullins in the contest. And Paul has chosen Car Geese, with others, Miss Manzor, High Wind, amongst others, Bunting, of course. We saw a lot of these at Cheltenham. Good man, Jim Bulger, he's got one in there as well, Eastern Legend. But start with you, Ruby Walsh.
I don't think Batman Jirak is up to it. He was well beaten by Bottler Seeker at Fairy House, so I can't see him getting involved. I think Bunting has been disappointing. He ran poorly in the Triumph Hurdle. He was fourth. He looked like he was staying on at Leopardstown, but he didn't improve at Cheltenham. High wind needs to jump a lot better than he's jumped thus far. He's quite cautious and careful, and both Bunting and High Wind could be horses to keep an eye on when they go back on the flat. He then has Stormheart. Paul Roder at the Dublin Racing Festival stuck with her at Cheltenham, but he has jumped ship this time, and he's gone for Cargeese. Miss Manzer, Rachel Blackmore rides. She looked a bit slow behind Butler Seeker at Fairy House, and can't see Punchestown suiting her any better. And that leaves Paul on Cargeese. Now, her first run for Willie, Danny Roder, she was too keen behind Cala Conti. Then Danny got her to settle well when she beat Stormheart at the Dublin Racing Festival. She was keen enough again at Cheltenham behind Majbura, and then way too keen behind Sergino at Aintree. Now, maybe the small field at Aintree didn't provide enough cover for her, but there's two ways of looking at a small field. No cover, but they're also less competitive, and it should have been easier to settle her in the less competitive race. To me, it looks like she's getting keener as the season goes on, which is not ideal. And for that reason, I think Butler Seeker gave her plenty to do. He was very good at Nace on his first start for Gavin Cromwell when he beat Pacini under Sean Flanagan. Keith Donoghue took over when he won at Fairy House. I thought he jumped better at Fairy House. I think he's the progressive one. And I hope Paul Townsend doesn't need Cargeese to be champion jockey, but I think Butler Seeker might do her.
Yeah, I wonder where he'll be with Jack Kennedy at that stage, running out of races or already caught him up. Anything for you, Rory?
Yes, I was keen on Nürburgring at Aintree, and he was pulled out by the vets that day, which did not please Connection at all, who thought he was perfectly fit to run. The argument I made then was that he got too far back on the Triumph Hurdle and had no chance the way that race panned out. But I thought the way he finished off from the second last hurdle was eye-catching, and suggested that if he'd got involved a little bit earlier, he'd have gone close. Maybe just took a little bit of time to warm up that day. But he was poorly placed when the race began in earnest. He'd shown very good form early in the season. He's closely tied in with Carchet, the pair of them finishing in the frame at Christmas, carrying penalties for winning previous graded races. So I've always had him in mind as one who's right up at the top of the rankings of the juveniles this season. And I expect him to run a big race here. So whatever money was invested at Aintree will be reinvested here.
Yeah, poor old Brosnan Racing. Not a great time with the old vet, have they, in the last 12 months or so. But they've got one with Gimme the Beat Boys. Could be very interesting on the flat. Right, back to the jumps. The SBK Gold Trophy Handicap Hurdle, 2.5 miles. Just a 7 declared by Willie. So, Paul has chosen Olympic Man in those Galloping Deschamps colours. Has he chosen right, Ruby?
He could well have. Maybe he didn't get home over 3 miles when Mousy Brown beat him at Fairy House, where he jumped better than he has done, but he needs to jump every bit as well in this race. Waterford Whispers off the back of a run that Martin Pipe will be fancied by plenty. Risk Bell ran okay at Fairy House behind Effinoc Fizz, and okay-ish in the County Hurdle. Maybe this trip will really suit her 2.5. I'd have to give her a small chance each way. Chapeau de Soye is a novice. He jumped better when he beat 2.03 at Navan over 2.5, but his jumping before that didn't suggest that he'd be at home in a handicap hurdle. What else have we got? Pink in the Park has been very disappointing. Gold Dancer, well beaten by Captain Cody at Fairy House. He needs to improve on what he's shown us. Stoke the Fire bolted in Perth last week, but that was a pretty weak contest. He was entitled to do that, but he'd been beaten by Toto 2 prior to that at Nace, and Toto 2 didn't exactly frank the form here earlier in the week. And that leaves me with the one I'm going to tip probably for the second time, and that's Oldcastle de Mott. I thought he was a bit disappointed at Fairy House behind Kittira, but he was dropped in a long way on that occasion and nothing got involved from the back. Danny Mullins rides him. I think he's a good jumper. I thought he ran really well in the Martin Piper. He was far too keen with Kieran Callaghan and they didn't go a quick gallop. I'm going to forgive him Aintree. I'm still going to side with Oldcastle de Mott to round out the jumping national hunt season before the concluding bumper.
Lovely. Oldcastle de Mott for Ruby in the double green. The hand is raised by Rory de Largy. The floor is yours.
Again, because this is slightly ground dependent, I'm going to put two, and there's no betting, two pretty good reasons to have a couple in mind here. I've been waiting for Encanto Bruno on good, genuinely good ground for a long time, and I think he's liable to show himself to be a much better horse than he has so far. You can argue that a mark of 139 is stiff enough on what he's achieved, and we'll find that out when he runs at a handicap on this ground. He was well beaten at Leopardstown over Christmas on heavy. But he's been well beaten on soft ground 2 or 3 times, and basically he must have it good So again, if the going is good on you know, by the time we come round to this on Saturday, if it's good to yielding at the start of the day, it doesn't rain during the day, that'll be fine for me. And as I said, I've been waiting for him for a while. I'd like to think he can run a big race if the ground comes in his favour. And the other one to bear in mind, who won't mind really what the ground is like, is Montbague Park, who's coming off a layoff. Now, he was a horse who really found his form last spring. He'd been running in good races early in the season last year on over longer trips but on softer ground. But he came good at Ferry House. He got disqualified after finishing first past the post, beating Risk Bell up a mark of 133 at Ferry House, and then he won here. He's only £2 higher than for the first of those runs, and looks well handicapped. Now, he's been chasing this season and hasn't really set the world alight. He shipped okay on his debut, but he hasn't progressed from that. It was well beaten at Punchestown in January when last seen. Given a break and brought back for the spring, I can very well see Montbague Park bouncing back to form as he did this time last year, and he's an interesting one as well. I imagine, hopefully, a decent price.
Lovely. Yeah, I think everything's going to be a decent price due to Waterford Whispers being in the race. Everyone's going to try to get their cash back after Shetland. Right, the bumper, the last race of the national season, you've already teed it up for us, Ruby. There's one for Willie. Tell us about Chart Topper.
He's conquered all before him this season, BK, and he'll wrap it up with a winner.
Oh my word, I love that. So Chart Topper for Willie and Patrick in the Mullins colours as well, in the Lawlers of Nace program flat race. Lovely. I won't ask you for one in the charity race, lads. I'll let you off. Oh, go on. Rory puts his hand on my
top. I don't know one of the charity race, but you know, the only thing I would say about Chart Topper is all this family win first time out, don't they?
Oh.
They all win first time out. They don't all necessarily go on as expected, but they all win first time.
Okay, Pink in the Park, Beret Rouge, Wear a Pink Ribbon, and Mr. Pink. How come this one's not got a pink name? What makes Chart Topper?
You'll have to ask Jackie.
I'll have to ask Jackie Mullins. Well, you ask her and let us know. Okay, right.
Well, you ask her.
Whoever sees her first gets to ask her then, Ruby, all right? You'd be heavy odds on there. Okay, let's get your best bets on Saturday. We've covered a lot of racing. I usually go to Rory first and he gives out, so I'm going to go to Ruby. Ruby, best bet on Saturday?
I'm going each way, and I hope he's a good price. Oldcastle de Mott.
Oldcastle, he should be. Rory, best bet on Saturday?
Well, can I go with the proviso on the ground?
Yes.
Oh, no. No, I'll tell you what, I won't go with the proviso on the ground. I will be backing Encanto Bruno if the ground comes up good, but the fair chance is going to be a little bit softer than that. And I don't know how the prices are going to pan out. So I'm going to go Montbague Park to bounce back, return to hurdles. He's bound to be a fair price, and he won't mind if there is a bit of rain. So there's no complications with that.
Thank you. So you've napped up in the same race. Castle Devon and Montbague Park. Fair play, lads. We covered about 16 races. You did well.
And I've got a backup in the same race, so you can't.
Three naps in the same race.
I'd love to nap one at Newmarket, but I've no idea what the going is going to be like. And that's
that's fine. That's fine. We'll just do the tri-cast, those three horses in that handicap. No bother. A1. Easily done. I was meant to say at the top of the show, we are going to have another bonus episode. And I'm sorry, producer Mark, because I forgot to. A bonus episode with Rory Zilargi and Smooth Tom looking ahead to 1,000 Guineas Day at Newmarket. So listen out for that. That'll be coming down later in the week. I am just tapping out, lads. Too busy a week. And the lads have seen enough of me anyway. I've got to go give Jackie Mullins a call and find out why she called this one Chart Topper. So I'm going to do that. Ruby, thank you very much for all the help this weekend. Thoroughly enjoyed the coverage on RT and Racing TV. He gives us a thumbs up as he heads off to do some work. Rory, I've thoroughly enjoyed the coverage as well from you this week, and enjoy your look ahead to Newmarket Guineas. And next week we will be also bringing you, I believe, we're hoping to get some content in for Chester. We might be coming to you. Oh, he's already. Have you agreed to this already?
I'm signed up already. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. So myself and yourself, Tuesday afternoon, we hope to be live for Chester's ITV action, the May meeting, which will feature Derby trials, handicaps where stalls 4 onwards will all be non-runners. And should be good fun. I'm looking forward to it. Should be a bit of crack. So that'll be coming down next week. So still loads still to come. Rory, thanks a million for this week.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Enjoy the weekend and best luck to City of Troy. Best luck to Justify. Of course, Joe Logue's tip, though. Watch out for that one for Brad Cox in the Kentucky Derby, which you can watch on Sky Sports Racing. I've already forgotten the name. Something a touch. Just a touch. Just a touch in the Kentucky Derby as well, the run for the roses. Have a great weekend, all. Listen out for Sunday's pod as well tomorrow.